Now, we come to Psalm 14 here. I wish I could stay with these psalms longer than I am. I reluctantly leave each one of them, but after all, this is just a five-year program, and we do have to move along. Now, in the 14th psalm, this is a psalm that you find it actually linked to other psalms. The 12th psalm, for instance. In that psalm, you'll recall we saw the corruption of the last days. The godly man had ceased, it looked like, and the godless was in control of the earth. And corruption and wickedness and lawlessness abounded. And you may think it's a picture this day, but actually, if I may use the common colloquialism of the street, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till the great tribulation comes. And by the way, I hope you don't see that, because God's church, those that are in the body of believers, just not going through it. He's already said, you keep them from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole world to try them that dwell on the earth. That's not for the church. He said they'll leave before that time. So we have here the corruption and wickedness of the last days, actually the end of the age, and this psalm certainly sets it before us. Now, will you notice here that it has a marvelous arrangement, and it has such a fine arrangement made by Bishop Horn that I'm going to use his outline today, and he divides this psalm into three parts. You have the corruption of the world in the first three verses, and then you have the second division, the enmity against the people of God. That's verses 4 through 6. And then verse 7, the longing and prayer for salvation. Now, this is the picture of this 14th psalm. You can see it's a very brief psalm, but very important. Now, he says here, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And what did he find? They're all gone aside. Now, they may not be atheists, but this is quoted in the third chapter of Romans by Paul. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, that's a picture of you and me, friends. I'm not an atheist, and I don't imagine you are. But we're sinners. We do not do good. That's not the condition of man at all. So we have here, first of all, the corruption of the world given to us. And this is the very depths that man can go to. Now, verse 4. And we see in this section here something I think very important for us to see. It's enmity against the people of God. Now, they're not only against God, but they're against the people of God. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. And all of this pretense today on the part of rich politicians, and a liberal told me not long ago, I know him real well, he's a college professor, but he's a liberal, liberal in theology and liberal in politics. He calls these politicians today limousine liberals. He said they don't know anything about what the poor man goes through at all. They're rich men today, and yet they pretend to be liberal. They're like the rich man that the Lord told about that always let some crumbs fall off his table for the poor man, for Lazarus, to keep him satisfied. Now, I've found no rich man today giving up his riches to help the poor. He's for giving up what little you and I have accumulated, and he'll tax us to death. But he somehow or another escapes the taxation. Now, I say, God sure does know human nature, does he not? This is the picture of them. Now, in verse 7 is this note of triumph. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. And this looks forward in anticipation to that glorious day when out of Zion will come that. The longing and prayer for God's salvation. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Now, you can't misunderstand that prayer. Now, anyone that says they do not believe God has a future purpose for Israel, at that very moment they're saying they do not know very much about the psalm. Because you may try to avoid what is so clearly stated in other places. But how you can deny when you come to a place like this that this is the heart cry and the joy of the psalmist is down yonder in the future.